He now has his own podcast, and it has debuted. I haven't even listened to it, but I already know I'm going to love it, and he's probably going to make fun of me at least once a day. Whatever, I'll get over it. He knows he loves me.
It's not just ruined, it's me, Big Fatty, online! Well, hello everyone, this is the Fat One, and this is episode 53 of the BFO for Tax Day, Tuesday, April the 15th, 2008, and if this doesn't, well, never mind, it's just, it's ruined, 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 ruined. Oh, Lord. Well, now, I know most of you have lost your shirt to the tax man, so the only thing you can do is sit back and enjoy the gaze. Well, folks, joining me today is a voice that will be very familiar to hundreds of thousands of ears and tummies too.
I don't know if I've had my voice inside their tummy.
Well, you probably had other things in their tummies.
Oh, now you went there right away.
I did, y'all. I have Chef Mark with me today, and Mark, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're actually video chatting, so...
We are.
We're,
I see that some kind of bizarre lighting sculpture behind...
Everybody says that, you know. But yeah, that's...
Is that a lighting sculpture?
Yeah, it's a light. It's one of those five-bulb light
should
things
do you,
right there.
Should do one of them little captures and show people.
I should do what?
Just do you one of them little video captures so people can see it.
No, I don't think so.
But actually, I am good, but I'm kind of annoyed because we just finished watching Big Brother. And
we did.
That confederacy of dunces, as I call them.
I am so over this show right now. And I promise,
lame.
Folks, we're not going to talk about Big Brother the whole time today. But
the basic thing is they got rid of James. The only good player, the only one that was interesting to look at, the only one who had a half a brain. They got fucking rid of him.
Right.
No more interesting show.
And the only thing that's going to be interesting now is the sequester house. And because it is 3-1 in the sequester house of people against Maddie.
And, good. And with his little, but his eye counts as a separate person because it has its own mind of its own. It's
that's
like,
correct. And I'm going to tell
like
you.
It's like that crazy gremlin in Gremlins with a little eye going everywhere.
It's going to come down to, well, let's see. There's three of them. And if Natalie is one of the final two, there's no way in hell she'll win.
Because now remind me how, because they switched it up at some point. Big Brother, they do vote at the end, right? The evicted house gets vote at the end. Because it didn't used to be that way, right? They shifted it up at some point. They turned
America
it back
voted at first, the first year.
Right.
Right. But then they started the whole sequester thing. So
they've done that since the second year?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. So it's more like the Survivor where the actual people that were evicted vote.
Correct.
Okay. So. Well, it's just Natalie, she is working my nerves because she is a fake ass, bimbo-ish, fake tits, fake religion, fake everything. She just works my nerves.
Well, but now, do you have an opinion about Natalie?
No, other than that, I just feel I've been different about her.
Now, y'all.
I hate people who use their religion, who wear it on their sleeves, and then literally every action they take is against the dogma of that religion.
Right, exactly. And she is, there's nothing about her that I like. Nothing. Yeah,
except that you know she's going to win head of household because they're hanging in a box, and that's basically what she did for a couple of years as a job. She was a fucking pole dancer in Vegas. So she can hang in a box for hours.
Well, and Jesus wants her to to win.
Oh, right, yeah. And she counted some sign that showed her that Jesus told her that he was gunning for her.
Oh, Lord. Hate.
Right, exactly. It's like the blonde bimbos from Amazing Race.
Oh, exactly. Oh, I can't wait for that to come back.
It's really the only of these kinds of shows. It's really the only one that I really love, because it's more about your skill at figuring stuff out or just hurrying than it is on, you know, the politics of who you can finagle.
Exactly. And
Big Brother, every year it gets me crazy, because the people who should win never win, and it's always these fake people who pretend that they're not playing the game that end up winning. You know, I mean, it's like everyone's like talking about, oh, James, he lied, he cheated. It's like, no, he didn't. He was the one person who pretty much laid it out. He was playing the game, and he was playing it hard, and he wasn't faking and pretending to be everyone's friend.
Exactly.
Not the way Natalie has.
Exactly. Oh, well. Anyway.
So, yeah, that's enough of that. We're both kind of over Big Brother now.
Very much so.
It always happens this way, doesn't it, with all of these reality shows?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Except for maybe you're Dancing with the Tards.
Oh, and I love me some Dancing with the Tards now.
Yeah.
Are you watching that
at all? I haven't watched it except for the very first night. Although I did see something about Steve Guttenberg dancing with a boy.
Yes.
And then he got kicked out.
Of course.
So see what happens when you come out of the closet.
Exactly. Oh, Lord, let's not go there. Now, you and your little brother like to watch the reality shows, or is it...
My little brother likes to watch Lost.
Lost, okay, that's what it is. Okay.
Into the Lost.
Are you watching The Lost?
Of course I am.
Okay.
That's my favoritest show.
Oh, I love it.
Not reality shows. That's my favoriteest show of all.
Yeah, there are very few folks who have stuck with that, but I'm going to tell you what, it's wonderful. It really is.
Yeah, it's really well written. So. It's well crafted. They've really taken their time, and they take the fans seriously. Like, they know that there's a bunch of us rabid fans out there who are going to watch every single frame, and if they make a mistake, we're going to point it out. So they make sure that they don't make any mistakes.
They go wild with the details. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm very active in the GSPN Lost community, which is the Generally Speaking podcast network. You can check them out at gsp.tv. My friend Cliff Ravenscraft does that show.
Now, Mark, are you and your brother the only kids in your family?
No, it's funny, because growing up, my parents are divorced, and
okay.
My father remarried, so... My little brother is actually my half brother.
Okay.
And he's a lot younger than me. He was born when I graduated from college. So, I mean, he could be my son. He's that much younger than me.
Oh, Lord.
But growing up, it was me and my older brother, who is 10 months older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the two of us growing up. Then my parents got divorced. They both remarried. My mom didn't have any other kids, but my dad remarried to a slightly younger woman who had two younger kids. So I have a stepbrother and a stepsister that are, you know, they're also younger than me, but certainly not as young as my half-brother. So it's like, so now I got a bunch of siblings, but growing up it was just me and my older brother.
Now, half-brother and all are in, is it Arizona?
New Mexico.
New Mexico. I'm sorry.
Albuquerque.
Same kind of area.
Right, but, you know, South Kakalaki, North Kakalaki,
exactly,
same thing.
Exactly. And
they're all the same. They're just a bunch of hicks.
Older brother?
We can be hicks and spicks.
That's it. And where's your older brother?
He's in New Mexico. Pretty much my whole family is in New Mexico, other than, like, I have a couple cousins who live in California.
Okay.
But pretty much everyone, and we're talking a big Spanish family.
And
so we're talking dozens of cousins.
How did you end up in New York?
I went to school in Connecticut.
That's right.
And then after
I
graduated, then after I graduated from college, I came to be a Broadway performer. And I acted for 10 years, actually, before I gave that up and became a chef.
Favorite role?
It's funny. My favorite role in a play was I played Ramon in Terrence McNally's play Love, Valor, Compassion.
Oh, right.
That was a lot of fun.
Okay.
I was the naked Latino on the raft.
Of course you were. And did you love the role more or being naked more? Let me think.
It wasn't that great a role.
That's a Jack that's a Jack Benny question. I'm thinking.
Okay. Wait, let me put my hands like he did. That was a fun. That was actually a really fun play to be in. That's a really great like ensemble play. That was a lot of fun. I did some stuff on Broadway, but really small roles. You know, I had ensemble roles. You know,
well,
not big, but I did get to share a stage with George C. Scott.
Oh, how nice!
I was in a production of Inherit the Wind that he starred in with Charles Durning. I was on the jury, so I got to sit there and watch Charles or watch, but well, both Charles Durning and George C. Scott, you know, try to convince me.
And I'm sure they did every night.
Yeah, very much.
And two matinees a week also, I'm sure.
Yep, 8 shows a week.
Right.
That's how it works.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of us former actors who are living uptown in New York and doing podcasts.
Well, I know that. But we're only talking about the most important one right now, right?
Oh, exactly.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. So now you don't live far from Eric, right?
I live like a block and a half away from Eric.
Okay.
And I live about also another block and a half away from David B.
Okay. Okay.
Occasional fact.
So are you in between them?
It's like an L.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
Like Eric lives east of me and David lives south of me.
What did you major in college?
I majored in French literature and theater studies.
French and, literature?
Yes. Mais oui. And people are like, well, what are you going to major in ever? You'll never use that.
What is that Latino guy doing in the French literature studies class? I don't get that.
I thought it was French kissing, but you know, by the time I found out, it was too late. No, people were like, you'll never use that professionally. And I'm like, actually, the very first job I had out of college, I taught French in a girls' school.
Well, and yeah. did they have little girly crushes about over you?
They did.
Did they really?
A couple did. Yeah.
How old were they?
it was a K through 12, you know, Upper East Side townhouse kind of, you know, small school. I taught sixth grade. I had homeroom of the seventh grade, and then I taught ninth, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. I had a lot. They load you up in those private schools. You got a lot of workload.
And
when you
all
teach.
You taught was French.
Mais oui.
I'm gonna guess that means yeah.
That means yes.
Okay.
Yep. All I taught was French. I didn't teach anything else, thankfully.
Okay. And how
I didn't know anything.
How long did you do that?
Just 1 year. I
okay.
hated it. It was not for me.
Kid.
So I respect people who have remained teachers for a long time.
Let's see. Do we know anyone like that? I can't think of anyone off the top of my head.
No.
Anyway. No. Yeah.
Our chat is full.
Exactly. Oh, Lord. And then from teaching, you went to Broadway?
Well, no, I went off.
Well, okay, so you went
but
to
no,
acting.
Because, you know, that was what I wanted to do, and that was what I had trained to do, and that was the reason that I decided to move to New York. It's just that I took the job teaching thinking, like, well, you know, I need a job when I
right.
move to New York. I need to be able to afford to live there. So I did that, and, you know, I saved up my money, and then I did the whole actor thing for almost 10 years.
That sounds like a very long time to trudge along at that, because I'm sure it was a trudge.
Well, no, I mean, I did a lot of cool stuff. I mean, I did several tours. I did a lot of regional stuff. I did some off Broadway stuff. I did some, you know, small films. So I mean, I was always doing something.
But
it wasn't like I spent 10 years trying to get a job.
No, but I mean, it's not an easy life.
No, and you're always, you know, you're always doing other stuff and you know, finding ways of earning money when you're not doing shows.
Right, and the show's always closing, and you're always looking for the next one and all that kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, but, you know, it's, you know, people do it because they love it and because they're passionate about it. And then you just find that there's a time when you're like, okay, now it's time, you know. I wasn't going beyond a certain level and getting bigger and bigger roles. And I just thought, you know, I always tell people I wanted to leave it before I started hating it, because I know a lot of people who hate it. They hate everyone. They hate everything. They're bitter, awful, miserable people. And I didn't want to be like that. So I said, you know what, I'm going to leave it while I still love it, because it'll mean that I can come back to it. I can do it either for fun, you know, like amateur stuff. Or, you know, at some point I may very well go back to doing it professionally, you know, and I may actually have opportunities to do it professionally in a way that I wouldn't have had back then, you know. Okay. I mean, now that, you know, we're creating some stuff with the Culinary Media Network and getting a little bit of notoriety and stuff. So, you know, who knows, at some point down the line, that, you know, more opportunities may come my way again.
So your culinary skills are self-taught?
Yes.
Well, now,
I did not go to culinary.
I'm incredibly impressed.
It's always been a passion. It's always been a passion of mine. Something I love to do. So, you know, when anything that you love to do, you know, you pay a lot of attention and you ask questions and, you know, you're always interested in it. It's like, you know, like if I were really passionate about, say, the Transformers, you know, I would be a self-taught Transformer.
Or you'd transform.
Yeah, and I'd be more than meets the eye, really, okay, when it comes down to it.
All right, well, before the clock catches us here.
Oh, that's right, you have a time limit.
I do, right. Do you have a prediction about who's going to win Big Brother? I know you don't care, but who do you, just gut feeling, who do you think will win it?
Who do I think will win it?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, if they don't stop her, Natalie might win it. But I don't know. The only person left that I even think is worthy of winning it is Sharon, you know, but she's not going to stay in there. They're going to get rid of her. I mean, that's just the sad thing. I think they're all pretty pitiful people, you know? So I don't know who will, but I know who won't.
Right.
And it's James.
Right.
And he deserves to win it.
Oh, well,
on so many levels.
The good thing about it all is it'll all be over soon. You know, kind of like an episode of the BFO.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But they don't have a nice little theme song playing
right
out. But actually, they do. But the here's what I'm curious about is, will, now that James is really out, will this whole thing about him having done the porn, will that sort of really come out for real this time?
We shall see.
You know, and will CBS talk about it, respond to it, you know, because obviously they've been knowing that this was coming, you know, as soon as he's really out of the house for real and then at a sequester and the show's over, they know it's going to, you know, people are going to be talking about it.
Well, they better be ready for it. So,
yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, Mark.
He's going to be coming on over to Big Fatty's house.
The sling is set up.
He can get his bicycle tires pumped.
Oh, Lord. Well, on that note, I think we should just give everyone the finger. Do you want to mention your podcast or your website real quick?
Yeah. Remarkably Mark, which I haven't done a lot of shows recently because I've been so busy traveling. You know, we were in Sicily recently, and we got a lot of stuff happening on culinarymedianetwork.com. So check it out. A lot of videos. We just put up some videos of Chef Thomas Keller, who's one of the top chefs in the country. And I have a video of me at the pizza throwing competition, learning how to throw pizza dough. So you'll have to check that out soon.
And on that, let's give them all the fingers, shall we?
Finger!
Okay. You can leave a comment on the website at bigfattyonline.com, and you don't have to use the www, or drop me an e-letter at ruined@bigfattyonline.com, or call the voice letter number at 206-337-1438. That's 206-337-1438, and give me your good, gosh, and gay. Me! been a presentation of the RNL Podcasting Network.